This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My dear friends, we gather in this place, this home where God is known, to celebrate the life, the legacy, the service, faith, and love of one of God's own, Shirley Ann Downs. We come today as family and friends, as fellow believers who worshiped in this place with Shirley for so many years. We come to pause before God, aware of the frailty of our own existence on earth, thankful for the strength that Shirley had, her faith, the testimony that she lived every day by being her unique self, by giving so willingly, by loving her family so much, by serving the Lord. We gather today with hearts that are heavy because we miss her. We wish that she was still here with us in physical form, sitting in the choir singing, laughing with CWF members downstairs, serving a meal to hungry people, things that Shirley did so well. So yes, today we are sad, but we are also happy, for we know that we were blessed to laugh with Shirley. Maybe sometimes to argue with her a little bit, to tell stories, to spend time together. We know that we are blessed, for we can trust in God with great faith that Shirley is at peace with her Lord and Maker. For this we celebrate. For this we give thanks to God. For this we rejoice. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, as hard as it may feel, this is a day that you have made. This is a day that comes in your time, when we pause to mark our time on earth, our place in your eternity. Lord, we come before you with hearts that are at once heavy with sorrow and yet filled with joy, giving thanks for the life of a woman who was and is so dearly loved. Holy One, we ask your blessing upon Shirley. We ask your blessing upon each of us who will miss her. Draw near in this time of worship. Hear our words of praise and speak to us of your comforting love that knows no bound, that reaches even beyond death, to continue loving us throughout eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. In the hymnal in the pew rack in front of you, you will find a song that Shirley chose for this day, one of her favorites, In the Garden. I would invite you, if you're comfortable doing so, to stand and sing together as we praise God.
please.
We have two passages to share with you this afternoon. The first is from the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The second passage is taken from the New Testament book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, as well as part of the 22nd. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the new heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away."
And from Revelation 22, we hear, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In Ecclesiastes, we read that there is a time to be born and a time to die. Shirley's time to be born on this earth was April 9, 1936, the daughter of Molly and Otto Vondra. Along with siblings Arlene, Donald, and Betty, Shirley lived on their parents' ranch between Lusk and Torrington, Wyoming, where Otto had cattle and sheep and worked as a government trapper. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to learn and a time to work, a time to play and a time to rest. Shirley Ann Vondra attended a country school called Prairie Center through the 10th grade. About the time she turned 16, she moved into town to live on her own in a boarding house while attending high school in Lusk. Afterwards, she moved to Casper with her sister Betty, worked at the phone company for a little bit, and met Robert Eugene Downs. They were married here at First Christian Church in a double wedding with her sister Betty on December 31st, 1954. Shirley was young when she and Bob began their family. Daughter Debbie was born first, followed by David and Doug. Shirley was raised Catholic and then, after moving to Casper, joined First Christian Church. This congregation would be home for the rest of her life. She taught Sunday school and yet led youth activities while her children were growing up. She sang in the choir, was active in Christian Women's Fellowship, served as our wedding coordinator, and was faithfully involved in so many ways. Just last fall, serving on the church's nominating committee. Shirley taught her daughter the importance of having good friends, the blessing of having girlfriends. For many years, Shirley was one of the four amigos. Maybe we should call them the Golden Girls. Jerry Gregory, Ann Clockseam, Peg Jackson, and Shirley Downs would room together every year at the church's Women's Renewal Retreat, and they worked side by side in CWF. In every season of life, in good times and hard times, Shirley was faithful to her family and friends, and she knew the presence of God. Here's a list of random thoughts about Shirley, memories shared by her daughter, Debbie, some things you may know about her and some things you may not have known. Her favorite color was blue. She detested winter. It was no fun getting out in the wind and the cold, but she did it anyway. She loved spring. It seems appropriate we have a day that almost feels like summer. She loved flowers and Easter, celebrating new life and Christ's resurrection. She collected bird houses. She liked the artwork of Thomas Kincaid. She always canned peaches at Christmas time and drew on her Czech heritage to make kolaches for the kids. She made the best pies, cherry and custard, and handed on the recipes to her daughter, Debbie. This afternoon, after we worship together, you'll have the chance to taste pie using Shirley's recipes. She volunteered at Interfaith. Shirley and her sister, Betty, studied the Bible together every week. She was a woman of deep faith. As her kids were cleaning out Shirley's apartment this week, they found small slips of paper with beautiful, heartfelt prayers that Shirley had written just before she went into the hospital. After Robert retired for about 5 years, they lived in Lander. I'm sure that some of you visited the place called Mom's Malt Shop that she and Bob ran. They served 22 flavors of hand-packed ice cream, made malts, sundaes, burgers, and homemade specials, including soup and chili. And, of course, she made homemade pie every day. She was such a great baker and liked to cook. Her pork spare ribs with sauerkraut were amazing. And the kids, I'm told, could eat their weight's worth in Mom's chicken and dumplings with sour cream gravy. In addition to being an attentive, involved parent and scout mom, Shirley worked odd jobs here and there through the years, as a receptionist for Continental Insurance, at the Gladstone Hotel, the Drawbridge, at the Goose Egg Inn, cooking their fried chicken specials every Wednesday night. She worked at her son's restaurant in Lander for a while, at a little church in North Casper, at 55 Plus and Experience Works. She finally officially retired just 2 years ago, but kept right on volunteering. Shirley was an avid reader. I'm told that a box of romance novels arrived with her name on it. She enjoyed playing cards and was on a bowling team for a time. The family took camping vacations all over the state and found every fishing hole you could imagine. She'd been to Montana and Arizona and Oregon, but always wanted to travel more than she had the chance to. Shirley was fiercely independent and never wanted to be a burden for her family. Even in the last months of serious health struggles with her heart and complications from diabetes, Shirley kept her cell phone at her hospital bed and took calls from friends. In fact, Paul, I remember the week that you and I were a little confused because I had visited Shirley at Wyoming Medical Center, and then I talked to Paul, and he said, "Oh, no, she's home," because she had answered her phone and sounded so good. He was convinced she must not be in the hospital anymore. In her final days, there were moments of clarity and other times when Shirley's mind seemed to drift a bit, either from medication or pain or spikes in her blood sugar, but she was still Shirley, strong to the very end. Lying in her hospital bed one day, she adamantly demanded her kids hand her the ingredients for chili. She insisted, "The fridge is right there. Get me those vegetables." So dutifully, Debbie handed her invisible vegetables, and she chopped them away. The book of Revelation describes an amazing vision of eternity, a new heaven and a new earth, a time and a place where God dwells with mortals. We are promised that God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. We give thanks that for surely there is no more mourning or pain. We are told of the river of the water of life. On either side is the tree of life with 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month. In her last days, I wonder if there were moments when Shirley glimpsed heaven yet to come. In that hospital bed, she talked of picking plums and how sweet the fruit tasted. Her family was faithfully at her bedside. On her last night on earth, Doug sat holding Mom's hand for hours. She told him she needed to climb those stairs. "What stairs, Mom?" he asked. "Those stairs right behind you, can't you see them?" she said. "Where do they go?" he wanted to know. "That's where I go to check out," she said. "But somebody's got to help me." He said, "Don't worry, Mom. I know someone will help you." And he squeezed her hand tight. There's no way to know if Shirley was remembering some past life experience or perhaps having a vision of what we cannot yet see. It is clear. She knew it was time to check out, time to rest, time for peace, time to let go of her walk on this earth and embrace God's eternity. There is a time for every matter under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to keep and a time to let go, a time to love and a time for peace, a time to be born and a time to die. After a long, full life, faithfully lived, Shirley's time to die came on February 10th, 2014. She is survived by her sister, Betty Durnell, her daughter, Deborah Downs Kaplan of Casper, her son, David Downs of Bend, Oregon, son, Douglas Downs of Lander, and three grandchildren whom she loved so very much, Robert Kaplan of Casper, Courtney Kaplan of Las Vegas, and Colby Downs of Lander. We give thanks to God for the life of this wonderful woman who embraced life with wonder and love. Amen.
Miss Shirley's sense of humor and wit. And we're going to the choir.
It is my privilege to share the following comments which David has written on behalf of his family with you. We are happy so many people are here today to pay their respects to our mom. Seeing so many loving friends and relatives shows how wonderful a person our mother was. It was difficult when we sat down on the weekend and started to think about all the wonderful memories we had of our mom. But as I continued to write down these memories, I realized how much she positively touched so many lives. We knew that the best way that we could pay tribute to her life would be to share some of our memories with you. Mom was a stay-at-home mom, which all of us could not know how much that would affect our lives till we got older. The sacrifices she made and the unconditional love she gave Dad, Doug, Debbie, and me is overwhelming to us now. In the later years of her life, Mom told me that I could not run the family like a business, but only with love, compassion, and understanding. The more we thought about it, Mom held the family together like a well-oiled business. We always wondered how she knew every aspect of our lives growing up. I believe I finally figured it out. Besides being smarter than us, she had spies. Sundays were the family business board meeting at church, where Grandma Peggy, Jerry Gregory, Ann Coxim, and many others got together and compared notes on all the kids. Especially, they all watched after each other's kids. Really, they squealed on us. In those times, you could not go anywhere. You did not run into someone from the church family. Mom didn't have eyes in the back of her head like we first thought. She had hundreds of them. When Paul Halleck and I were talking, he reminded me how Mom always kept all of us in line. She was the first to give praise and also the first to reprimand, and many times very sternly. In parentheses, one summer I was asked to be the youth minister here, and Shirley and Bob were the youth sponsors. And I thought I did a good job, and Shirley would let me know if I did a good job or I needed to improve. And it was a joy to work with them. There was no question about it. As I am sure many of you know, Mom was very opinionated and was not shy about voicing her opinion. She passed that trait down to me, my brother, and my sister. This made for some very interesting family functions. Everybody was welcome to attend. Just don't try to get a word in or disagree. She loved singing in the choir. And I personally will never forget a holiday season when she sang the Hallelujah Chorus. To this day, remembering it brings tears to my eyes. Let's talk pies. I am sure many of us will miss them. Here, pie recipes will live on for generations. In the final days of her life, she was still telling us the proper way to make a cherry pie. Mom never forgot her where she came from and respected and loved her parents, sister, and brother with all her heart. Aunt Betty, Aunt Arlene, and Mom were as close as sisters could be. I think they were also recruits on Mom's spy list. Mom was an essential part of my brother and me getting to the rank of Eagle Scout. She never missed a court of honor or other program and carried the mother's badges proudly whenever she could. I am sure many of you know how many patches need to be sewn on over that course of time. For all of us, the support she gave us inspired us to be the best, well-rounded people we could be, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. These values Mom passed down to her children, grandchildren, and friends. It was impossible not to respect her and everything she accomplished in her life. Mom's faith and dedication in the Lord, her church, and her friends were apparent to all that knew her. Mom always dreamed of traveling, but never got the chance. You will find small bags with a portion of her remains. If you have a special spot that you shared with her or in travel wherever you might go, spread them around. Help us fulfill one of her dreams. We're very proud of our mom. She taught us about not being afraid to take chances and to live life by her motto. She was a well-respected wife, mother, sister, and friend. She was always there whenever anyone needed her, whether it was someone to talk to or help with a task. She never asked why and was quick to help. Doug, Debbie, and I will miss Mom with all our heart and will always cherish the time we spent together. She was always there when we needed her and was the most loving and caring mother in the world. Even though she is gone, her memory will live on in all of our hearts forever. Signed, we love you, Mom, Doug, Debbie, and David. In closing, we would like to thank all of Mom's and Dad's church family for the support and food they have given us, not only over the last 3 months, but our entire lives. Mom did the best job picking you all as her friends. Thank you, David.
Shirley's dear friend, Peg Jackson, is going to share with us a memory.
And the banners that you see from time to time, Shirley and Jerry and I made them. And we loved every minute, and we had a lot of laughs together. And the one big laugh that we had was when we went to renewal at the Rocky Mountain. What was it now? Let me see. I got it written here. My mind's gone. YMCA of the Rockies. We went down there, and one night we decided it was time to play some cards, and it was after the time that we should be in bed. So we go down to this particular room, and guess who else was with us? Kathy Badger was there. And we played cards and laughed. Pretty soon there was somebody coming by to check the rooms, and we all hid under the tables. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I tell you, we had more fun than you could believe. And when we roomed together, Jerry and I had to sleep together because Shirley says, I'm sleeping alone. Oh, well, fine. Okay, Cheryl. I'll call her Cheryl. And so I said to Jerry one night when we were about ready to go to sleep, I said, you know, Jerry, when Daryl was alive, he rubbed my back before we went to sleep, and then he kissed me. Well, I'll rub your back. Well, okay. That's okay. I didn't need a kiss anyway. I had plenty from Shirley. And it was, you know, I could just tell you lots of stories. But I don't want to take a lot of time. So, yeah, Court, what? You want to talk, honey? Okay. Thank you.
I don't know how well I'll be able to get through this, but I'm Courtney. I'm my grandmother's only granddaughter. And there's really not much more to say other than we were absolute best friends. She supported me through things that nobody else could have. Whether, you know, it was getting good grades or playing in basketball, she was there for everything, and she had my back through everything, whether, you know, I was failing or getting A's or going to a game or even getting a tattoo or a piercing. And she found the humor in everything. Whether it was something serious, she could make a joke out of it. And she's kind of abusive. She liked to beat up on me a lot and mess with me. And I came here and I lived with her for a while, and it was the best time of my life. She made me a lot stronger and a lot more respectful, and she taught me the good in life and the good in people, and to always look for that good in people. And she kind of brought me out of my shell. A lot of times I just sit in my room and watch TV, and she'd come in at random times and just sit on me and just start bouncing. What are you doing? What are you doing? Let's go do something. Let's play cards. And she liked to give me a lot of crap when I drove, too. She'd hit me a lot of the times when I was driving. And I'd sit there, I was like, do you want us to die? You don't hit the driver. She goes, that's why I hit you now, because you can't hit back, both hands on the wheel. She loved to mess with us, and she loved me and my brother and Colby beyond belief. And she respected and she cared for everybody. You know, it could be, you know, the worst person you could ever think of, and she'd point out that good in that person, and she'd make you see that good in that person. And I know everyone always says when someone passed, that was the most amazing person I ever met, but she really was the most amazing woman you would ever have the blessing of meeting. And she changed my life for the better. And she will always be with me. And I will always look up to her to be my role model. And I want to be just like her. Thank you.
The family wanted to make sure that other people have a chance to share memories. If there's a Shirley story that's on your heart that it seems appropriate for you to lift up, we want to take a few minutes to do that. When I was first called here as pastor 5 years ago, Shirley was working as wedding coordinator at the church. She had done it for a long time. And she did an amazing job lining up the bridal party at the rehearsal just so, telling the groomsmen to spit out their gum. She'd walk in front of them and collect it. She'd teach them how to stand and proper etiquette for weddings. After a while, it became apparent that Shirley had done this so long that she was getting to the point where she wasn't quite aware how gruff she came across at times. And I found it was helpful when I talked with couples at premarital counseling sessions to make a reference they could relate to. There's a character from Saturday Night Live called the Soup Nazi. So I would just explain to couples that Shirley Downs is our wedding coordinator and also known as the wedding Nazi, and that she was there to make sure their day was perfect, and if they did what she said, everything would go well. She always had a pocket full of candy. I'm not sure if it was to reward or to bribe the little ring bearer and flower girl, but she made it so easy to help a bride and groom through that special day of their life, and it was a wonderful ministry she did here. I'll bring the mic to you. That's okay.
I worked here with Debbie for a while, cleaning the church, after her mother turned it over to Debbie and I. But one of the main things that we had to remember was that we had to get the toothbrush out and get that stuff off the runners and the stairway. And if it wasn't done, Shirley would notice. And I got to be a little bit paranoid about that. And I was probably kind of pushy. And Debbie would say, oh, you remind me of Mom. You're taking this all so serious. But that was a compliment, because Shirley was one in a million. And it was wonderful. Those days that we cleaned the church, to follow in her footsteps and try to make it immaculate and I'm going to miss her.
Shirley was my aunt, and I moved away about 25 years ago. And when we came back and I heard that she was in the hospital, I went up to see her. And it was just, I was really going to look forward to seeing more of her because I missed out on so much. But I lived down the street from her, and she was a wonderful, wonderful aunt. She'll be missed.
Well, Cynthia, you weren't far off. Mother taught me how to surround myself with some amazing, amazing people in my life. I have a group of girlfriends that have gotten me through the best and the worst times of my life and have never, ever let me down. And I thank my mother and God for that. One of my best stories about Mom, though, is eyes in the back of your head. Oh, please. It's my senior year of high school. They finally lifted the dress code off of NC. My mother informed me I will never wear pants to school. Well, I had the most gorgeous fuchsia Western cut pantsuit that you ever saw. Four-piece outfit, skirt, blouse, jacket, pants. One day I got dressed in my little fuchsia outfit, had the skirt, had the blouse, had the jacket on, got ready to go to school. And mind you, I never got a ride. I always walked. So I wrapped those pants up around my waist, put my winter jacket on, and away to school I went. Got to school, changed into my purple pantsuit. I thought I was all that and a bag of chips. I wasn't in school a half hour. I got called down to the office. I went down to the office. I cruised around the corner of the lobby, and there stood my mother looking at me going, went to wash it, couldn't find it, see you at home. I got home, and my mother took that pantsuit, cut it up into 50 little pieces, threw it in the trash, and said, you will never wear pants to school. And don't bother asking any of your friends, because I'll cut theirs up, too. And my friends never did let me borrow their clothes, ever. So, yeah, my mother was on top of us.
I'm sure that there are other Shirley stories we could share. Come on, Doug.
I probably don't need that mic. That's pretty boisterous. This is one with my brother and I can relate to. When it comes to a stern mother, you know, she was always loving also. But really, I don't think really y'all knew the sternness she was. you know, we weren't always angels. So there'd be times that we would sneak out of the house. I can remember many a time to having to sleep on the patio because the door was locked. Or she'd leave the door open and put the footstool in front of the door. You'd hear us tumbling over and over and over again as we walked through the door. She knew we were home. She said that's how she never went to sleep until we got home. She would stay up until all hours and nights. And then she said when she'd hear us tumble, she could turn the light off and go to sleep. So that was one for your brother and I.
I'm guessing there are some parents here taking notes. We're going to sing a little bit more and then pray. Was that another hand for a story? And then we're going to head downstairs. And there is plenty of food to share. And I would encourage you to stay, have a meal, have a piece of pie and a cup of coffee, and share a Shirley story with whoever you're sitting next to or with the kids and grandkids. Our last hymn today is number 33 in your hymnal, How Great Thou Art. Let's stand and sing. I would remind you of the little bags that you'll find at the back of the sanctuary on your way out. Those do actually contain a very small portion of Shirley's cremains. It's a wish of her family that she had the chance to travel all kinds of places that she never got to see. And if that's meaningful to you and you want to help Shirley travel in this symbolic way, you're welcome to do that. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord, our God, you are so great. We see your greatness in the world around us and the beauty of creation. We hear of your greatness in the stories of Scripture. We know of your greatness through the self-giving sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins that we might be blessed with eternal life with you. Lord, we humbly ask that in our own small way we might reflect your greatness. We thank you for the ways in which Shirley's life reflected your love for the world, your guiding hand, your humor, your caring, your light. Now, Holy One, we ask that you might say to her, as we long to, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and bring us peace as we go forth to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.